Okay.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hey, J. Michael Michael here for 2019. And if you're like me and love talk radio but can't find anything worth listening to on the AM dial, then how about this? How about tuning into LA Talk Radio? See, LA Talk Radio is a .com and has it all, from sports to music to self-help to just about anything, including talk. And right now we have the new writer's favorite show, The Writer's Block. So sit back, pour some more wine, enjoy it, because it all starts right now.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Bob Brill, only on LA Talk Radio.
I can tell by looking at his face, I have finally perplexed Mr. Brill on the music.
You stumped. I'm stumped. I'm done.
It's Paul Simon, and it's called Angie.
Really?
Off the Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. album.
Really?
Yes. Wouldn't lie to you.
Well, after listening back and thinking, I can see Paul Simon, but I did not know that song.
Great piece of music.
Yeah. Cool.
Great piece of music. Okay. Well, this is LA Talk Radio. Hey. And of course, you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina, your host, in studio with Mr. Robert Brill.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And on the phone is our roving reporter, Miss Bobby Jean Bell. Hello, Bobby Jean.
And good evening.
I'm going to give you a little Paul Simon while you're talking, so go ahead.
She's back.
She's back. How's Denver? Cold? Bobby?
Well, there's snow coming tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's snow coming tomorrow.
Good. You keep it there, okay?
Yes, it's not cold. It's mild here right now. It was like in the 50s, but there is something coming in tomorrow.
Ah. Well, we're getting some rain tomorrow. You're getting snow. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I wouldn't trade you for a dime a dozen. You can have
no kidding. To be honest, I think I'd rather have the snow.
Not me.
Well, there was a ton of snow. There was a ton of snow in Albuquerque when we were in Illinois. They got slammed where the city really couldn't do anything.
Is that right?
Shut down. Yeah, on January 1st, it was like the 40 was closed. I mean, it was, yeah.
Albuquerque can be a scary place in the winter.
Albuquerque can, it snows, it rains, and then you get that silver thaw.
Well, and then you got that one steep grade coming in, and I don't remember if it was coming in from the east or the west, but I remember coming down that one time, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was cold, raining. I was like, holy cow, what the heck am I doing here?
It's ice.
Yeah. It's horrible. It's scary.
Black ice.
There's
a book. There's a novel in there somewhere.
It's called Black Ice from Hell. Of course, then how does ice land or last in hell?
You got me. It's like when hell froze over.
Suppose we could ask my brother. He should probably be able to tell me. Well, welcome to another wonderful edition of The Writer's Block here on LA Talk Radio. And tonight we have, oh my gosh, we have such a wonderful lady on. This lady was a guest with us before. Richard Polinelli, when Richard was the guest or was the other co-host. He had finished a novel for a friend of his that had passed away, and our guest tonight was one of the editors and publishers of said novel. And she is on the phone waiting for us to talk with her. And without any further ado, it is, would you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Dawn Greenfield, Ireland. Are you with us, Dawn?
Hello, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, I could have given you this, but I didn't. We could beep you or clap you, whichever you like. Well, you know what? Welcome back. The last time you were on with us, it was a strange show. The atmosphere in the studio was like really weird. And I think we talked about this the other night. It was just like, it was very strange because, you know, here's Richard sitting here. A friend of his, Mike, had passed away. His wife was on the phone with us. You were on the phone with us. And it was like Mike was sitting in another chair over here watching everything that was going on. It was like really a weird ambiance in this studio. In fact, I talked to Richard this morning, and he said the same thing. So
yeah,
he said he felt really strange. Wow. So, of course, Richard is really strange.
So. Somehow I see another movie in there somewhere.
You know, it's really not it's nothing that no one in this room or on this air right now knows or doesn't know because they all know Richard.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. You know Richard. Bobby knows Richard. Dawn, Richard.
He wrote a glowing review of Dawn's writing ability.
Yes,
and
he did.
Editing ability.
He did.
On her website. Glowing review.
He's like your biggest fan.
Well, except for all of us, of course.
Well, why don't you? We got into this book this week. Why don't you? The prophecy of was it the
Thal?
Why don't you give us a little bit about the book? And God, I'd love to talk to you about your publishing stuff and your editing. And man, we got so much to talk to you about. So let's start off with your book, the prophecy of Thal, and let's go from there.
All right. Well, it is a really interesting journey for that book because I started writing that in 1979 and didn't know a thing about writing, literally did not know anything about writing, never took a writer's course, nothing. And basically the idea came about when I was driving to work. And I had a very long drive over a bayou, through Attucks Dam in Houston, way out west. And, you know, it's like a very long drive, and then there's a traffic light, and you sit and you wait and all that. And so I had this little fantasy going on in my head. And the difference between me and someone else is I write down my fantasies.
Oh, really? So, boy, that's an open-ended statement.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dawn, let me stop you right there because I want to interject a question here. Because you, in 1979, you said you were on your way to work when you came up with this. What kind of work were you doing?
At that time, I was a technical writer, and I was, that was before I started working at Compaq. So I was in the seismic industry and had my very first, like, junior technical writing job. And so it was a really interesting transition.
So this fantasy was sort of an earthquake, was it?
Wow.
I'm sorry, what?
So this fantasy was sort of an earthquake to you or something? You said you were in the seismic industry?
You know what? Don't let him book Goji into it because he's going to try.
But I would be really interested in what, when you say technical, I think writing manuals or writing tool instructions.
Manual.
Or what were you writing about technically that was technical?
At that time, basically I was writing one of the very first things that I wrote that was published for a company was Welcome to the VAX in Simple English. This was about a VAX 11780, and I was basically having to write instructions for, I think it was like 35 engineers who were at the company, and I was like the go-to person, you know, like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And so after, you know, several months of all these questions and everything, I just wrote a little manual, and they loved it. And they used it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years after I left the company. So,
wow, you must have done a good job.
That was the very first thing that I ever did. And then from there, I moved to Compaq Computer, and that's basically where I won my very first writing award for their Compaq Desk Pro Maintenance and Service Guide. This was back in 1988.
Wow.
And it was a SDC award of excellence. But anyways, on that long drive, I came up with this whole fantasy about, you know, this parallel world and this at the time, the characters, the two main characters, Delane and Tracon, they were in their late 20s, early 30s. And at that time, it was called Second Chance. And it was horrible. Oh, my God, that book was horrible. My main character cried like 85% through the story. And
well, I can see why.
Well, it wasn't until, geez, I don't know, like 20 years later when I pulled it out of the, you know, the dust bunny pile to actually sit down and do something with it. I thought, oh, my God, this is just horrible. But I was at a writer's convention, somewhere around 2007, 2010, and I had talked to an editor about it, and she said, you know, you really need to bring the characters' ages down to teenagers. That way there you can capture the young adult plus the adult audience. And I thought, mm-hmm. oh, man, that's a mm-hmm. really good idea, a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, it isn't a piece of cake. Either that or it's cake with, you know, like...
unsweetened chocolate.
...coal in it or something. It was horrible. Because every single thing in the story changed. You know, the perception of a teenager compared to a 20 or 30-year-old, totally different.
Oh, yeah.
So the dialogue changed. Every single thing changed. So I ended up just, you know, scratching most of it and rewriting it. And I'm really happy about the way it turned out. I think it's really good.
Well,
and evidently, other people thought so, too, because it got a Reader's Favorite Award.
Yes, it did. It's won some awards. Yeah, I was just going to say. Well, it's an interesting read. I do have to say that. And you have a new one that just came out, a sequel.
Yes. Second one, Gifts from Saul. And this is the type of story that can just go on forever because there's a lot of characters, so I can go on different, you know, I can just go on different bents, you know, with each character. But, yeah, I really loved the story. To me, it was just one of those incredible fantasies that I made come to life on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people liked the book.
Don, I had to ask you, you know, thinking ahead of time, Jim and I were just briefly talking beforehand. In today's world mm-hmm. of Give It To Me and Snippets and Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Who reads a 400-page book? Because your books are long. They're, you know, 46 chapters, and not only just in the process of writing that, but when you target that, who reads and sits down and reads 400 pages?
You'd be surprised. I mean, there's a lot of people that want meat. They don't want mm-hmm. a novella. They don't want 200 pages. They get into the story, and they don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
So 400 pages for them is, you know, like kiss the moon.
It's a really interesting question, though, because I wonder if all of the little bites that we get of everything, social media and such, we can't escape. You know, reading is still such a wonderful escape. And you can't
yeah.
escape with a sound bite, you know. You can tease, but you really can't
yeah.
escape.
I agree.
And,
I agree. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Bob is things. You know, I can't write short.
Well, Bob can't write tall, so.
Poor Bob.
Bob subscribes to having books the length of an airline flight. Seriously.
Yeah, I do.
You know, pick them up and get on the plane. You start reading your book, and by the time you get to New York, the book's done, and you leave it in the seat pocket in front of you for someone else to read. Well, I don't know if that's what you do, but
no, that's
you're like me, and you do 26-hour train rides.
Well, there you go. Well, see, then you'd have to pick up the whole novel series.
Yeah, but then Bobby Jean, you're rubbing your eyes and reading the same paragraph 42 times.
That's true. No, my Lancer series is designed to be that. Actually,
yeah,
when I started it, I wanted that to be the one of the elements of of the series, that each book could be read on a 6-hour flight across the country, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you'd move on. Mm-hmm. And of course, I work in radio and have for nearly, I won't say how many years. So, you know, radio is so much shorter than anything else. And so I've dealt in that world more than anything. And I, when it comes to looking at something at maybe 400 or 500 pages, whether it's we used to look at 500-page books mm-hmm. as the, you know, the giant masterpieces, or a historical book,
right.
A history book based on, you know, where you had to throw in all the facts of what happened in the Russian Revolution, things like that, War and Peace.
Yeah, that's a nice short book.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but, you know, and then attacking the writing on that, as far as the process of going there, how much different is that for you than maybe some of the other types of books that you read or you have written?
Wow. There's that silence. She's going, what the hell did he just ask me?
What? Well, I'll tell you. I'm looking up the page. Okay, so I have a dystopian novel called The Last Dog, and that's just a little bit bigger than Prophecy of Fall. It comes in at 420 pages. But those are my two biggest novels. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, for the life of me, write anything short. I mean, I get into a story and I just take off with it. And I love when I read a novel that is, you know, 400 or 500 pages. Man, I am just in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Bobby.
To say? Well, I just had a thought I've never had before, thinking about lengths of books. You know, when I look at the book, paper, cover, and such, and it's 400 pages, it seems a lot more daunting than I'm reading it electronically, and I know how many pages, but I'm not feeling the weight of the book. I'm not thinking about how am I going to carry that around with me. And so I wonder, is as people move more to electronically as one of their choices, or Audible, that they're not intimidated by a size of a book. I don't know. I just, this idea just sort of popped mm-hmm. into my head. Mm-hmm. You know, that I don't really pay attention to how many pages it is when I'm reading it electronically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that because you and Bob and I, we don't read books now for sport. I mean, it's kind of a job, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, yeah,
it's homework.
It's our lifestyle. It's our homework. And you know, if we have a long book, not saying that actually this book wasn't really that long, to be honest, Don. But it was. I mean, it was up there, but not. I mean, we've had longer. Let me tell you. And but
yes,
you know, you get a big book, long book. Like our guest Peter James, that's going to be on. That's 585 pages, and it's very small print. And you know, and it takes a while. And normally on during the week, I'll start reading the book for next week's show on like a Sunday. But when I have a long book, I have to start reading it the day after the show, Friday, to get
to get
done. Yeah, you know, because I have other stuff I have to do as well, and
life.
Yeah, life gets in the way, you know, it does. So I you know, but we don't read for fun. But I can see where people that do read for fun and for relaxation and enjoyment, and they get into a book. I've done it. You know, it's like Stephen King. I've read The Stand in like 3 days, and that's like 600 pages. You know, you didn't want to put it down.
So Don, is the length and the fact that from what I'm hearing, is that sort of a freedom for you? When you're writing,
freedom. Just, you know, I have to get to a point where it's like, okay, this is going to end up to be a doorstop. You know, I mean, we've got to stop, we've got to end it. But you know, for me, reading is twofold. It's for pleasure, and it's also for research. And I like a long book. I mean, I've read plenty of short books also, but I'm not a big fan of novellas because to me they're just a blip. Because I read anywhere from 2 to 6 books a week.
And, I saw that on your website. Yes. You have 27, your bookcase, you have a great library of your own.
Yeah, 27 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of books.
Yeah.
I read one book a week. And then write
well,
one book a week.
Well, I just signed up for the Goodreads Reader's Challenge. And so I toned it down and put in there that I will read 104 books this year. That's only 2 books a week. So, yeah. You know, it's like I didn't want to put in that, you know, I could read between 2 and 6 books because – or 4 and 6 books because people kind of freak out and then they think, you know, like, well, I could never keep up with you, you know, so –
This is the contest that you're in?
No, it's just one of those reading
like
challenges.
Reader.
Oh,
gotcha.
Yeah, Reader's Challenge.
Goodreads has. Yeah, it's and I'm already up to, I think I've read 7 or 8 books already.
I have a question for you, Dawn, and I actually had a young new author ask me this question. He said, I like the style of your characters and your storytelling. And I like the style of yours, and this particular, The Prophecy of Thal. I like the style. I like the way your descriptives work and your character descriptions work and your dialogue works. Do you use the same style in all of your books? And this is a question I don't think we've ever asked anybody on this show before. Because there are several writers that write in different styles, and I don't know if they do it on purpose or if it's you know, meant to be that way.
I think just about all my books are the same style. Mm-hmm. It's very conversational. A lot of people say that, well, for example, for my Alcott family adventures, Hot Chocolate, Bitter Chocolate, Spicy Chocolate, people think that, you know, when they are reading that book, they could sit across the table with any of my characters because they're so real.
Mm-hmm.
And their dialogue is so conversationally, and they really like that a lot. So, I mean, yeah, I bring that across just about with everything, even my, you know, the science fiction, the fantasy, and I even have one that I consider steamy romance because it's got sex and violence in it.
Oh, my God.
And,
we all need a copy.
Mm-hmm, I think I read about that one.
Well, I'm honored to publish the second one. That one is called Bonded, and this one is called Kothars. So it's a shifters, you know, shapeshifter book. And I really love the characters, but I love all my characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, don't you? Because it really comes through, and I felt that a lot in Prophecy of Thal. I mean, there's one character that she, you know, reappears in our main character's nightmares, and we see and meet him, and he is not a nice character, but you obviously love him because you write him with great detail, and then he turns out to be, you know, a good guy at the end as they join forces to combat an even worse, bigger evil. And I thought, well, that's really kind of neat that she's figured out a way for these folks to all kind of, you know, put aside differences and face the greater challenge together. I have to say, your very, very first line, I really like this, Kansas is nowhere in sight. And I can't find my ruby shoes. I
saw that. I love that.
Well, you know, you have to make your characters real. You know, they have to be real people, no matter if they're creatures or humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your reader has to have something to identify with. And the way I look at it is, even if it's a really rotten character, there's got to be something about that character that somebody is going to be interested in. You have to give him some kind of humanity. There's, you know, even the worst character can have a little piece of goodness in them that, you know, they can either bring out or they can tamp it down. And I really enjoy, you know, messing with my characters.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Is
a
that
lot of fun.
Part of your fantasy?
When you,
no.
You know, the way that this book unfolds, we have a scientist, Victor, who starts to share a story with his kids. And we don't know what kind of role Victor's going to play. I think that's right. And I thought that was sort of interesting, how you set the story up. Do you work with an outline or storyboards, or because I could see you could have moved things around in how you let the action unfold. I was kind of curious what your thought process was.
Most of the times I work with an outline. There's been a few things that I've written that I just, you know, banged out of my head, but I like to try to get at least a loose outline, you know, get from point A to point B and all the way down, you know, to the end of the book. But I've tried working with a storyboard. I'm not good at that for some reason. Maybe it's because of my years as a technical writer and an editor and a creative writer. You know, an outline works best for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to do, and I think I succeeded, what I loved was trying to put together something like the way the narrator was in Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I accomplished that because, in a sense, Victor played that role, telling the story to his son and then letting it unfold. And then mm-hmm. bring him in, you know, periodically to, you know, about the scientific investigation and all
mm-hmm.
these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to cut you ladies off for just a second. We're going to do a little bit of selling here. Bobby Jean, I did not download your ad. Do you have it with you?
I do.
Well, would you like to?
Do you want me to?
I would love for you to do it right now.
This is the time of year we reach for a warm, cozy blanket, a blanket that gets better with time. And Out West is your source for the Cadillac of blankets, the Denali Collection. Softer and warmer than fleece, these unique blankets are made from an innovative fabric called microplush. And Denali has patterns and designs for any home decor. You provide the fire, the book, and your favorite hot beverage, and Out West provides the blanket. Come on over to outwestshop.com to find the perfect cozy throw for your long winter nap. Use coupon code BLANKET and save $10 off your order of $75 or more. Call toll-free 1-877-340-9378. And, gentlemen, it's always a great day out west.
There you go. And now you're leaving on vacation. Your tickets have been purchased. Your hotel reservations are confirmed. Mail delivery has been suspended, but what about the dog? Well, All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepovers. It's the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. All Dogs Rule provides your best four-legged friend a place to run and play outside amongst orange trees and grass in a country-like setting. Your dog gets to be, your dog gets to be a dog. All Dogs Rule offers additional services, including, but not limited to, individualized playtime, personal walks, swimming, sessions in the creek, and more training. So visit All Dogs Rule on the web at alldogsrule.com or give them a call at 805-524-1100. And when your pup returns home with that smile on his face, his little canine grinner, we'll leave you wondering whose vacation was better, and we all know it was Bob's. So
woof, woof.
All Dogs Rule, 528-0552-4-1100. Give him a call. You will not be unhappy with what happens with your
You'll
dog
love those
while
guys.
He's there.
Dogs can like them too.
Yeah, and dogs like them too. Okay, it is now, let's see, it is now 7:29. We are on the line with Dawn Greenfield, Ireland, and of course Bobby Jean Bell, and Bob is in the studio, and I'm sorry we cannot give out a phone number because, unfortunately, we can't take calls without hanging up on somebody else.
I know.
So Skype has really screwed us over, and until we get it fixed, it's going to be that way. Dawn, I would like to talk a little bit about your publishing business. Can you give us a little bit? I mean, shameless self-promotion is okay on this show. We dig it.
Oh, we love shameless self-promotion.
Of course we do.
So my company is Artistic Origins, and I've been in business since 1995. I basically started it as I was a contractor, technical writer, and so that's how I got myself into the door of a lot of different companies, having my own company. And then when I started really getting into the, you know, the writing aspect of my life, I published my very first book, which was The Puppy Baby Book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thank my years from Compaq Computer, because I was in the corporate communications department and learned an awful lot about the publishing industry from that, because, you know, just because we wrote the manuals, it didn't stop there. I mean, I wrote manuals, there was editing, there was, you know, it went to print, and then we had to look at the galleys and the blue lines and all this other stuff. So I basically got my feet wet there. And so when I published my The Puppy Baby Book, it was a familiar process, and, you know, that just really opened up a gigantic door for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am one of those publishers that I guess you would call me a modern publisher. You know, if anybody wanted me to publish their book, I mean, I'm not one of the big New York companies.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pay-as-you-go, so... You know, you need a cover, you need editing, you need formatting.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are services that I provide.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that any book that has my logo on it is going to be worthy of, you can, you know, enter that thing in a contest. And, you know, if you've written it real well and I've edited it real well, which, you know, you can ask Richard. I am a damn good editor.
Well, yeah, he said. He said
so,
you're tough.
You know, you're going to have a product that is really good.
Mm-hmm. So if
the thing is, you know,
okay,
a lot of people think that, you know, I'm going to not just do the publishing, that I'm going to, you know, get them on the bestsellers list. Well, I can't do that. You know, I'm trying to get me on the bestsellers list. Never mind you, you know.
Yeah, that's our favorite phrase right here. Don't give up your day job.
That's right.
Well, over the years,
stand in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the years, you've been doing this since 1979. What's been the one biggest, best learning experience that you had, whether it was in the writing or the publishing departments? It's one thing that really stands out that said, okay, this is what I had to learn, this is why I'm moving forward, and this is why I'm going to keep doing this?
You know, it's the whole process. I mean, I'm in love with the whole process. I love the writing, I love editing, and I love the publishing aspect. You know, I'm more or less just like the giant project manager. I get out there and I find the cover artist, I find the formatter, you know, I get the ISBN number, filling in all the details and everything. I mean, I think it's just the way my organized brain works. You know, I just love the whole process. So I can't really choose one thing that I love the most. I mean, because it's kind of like a package deal.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Editing. Let's talk about editing for just a minute, because you are, of course, an editor. Talk to us as though we were a bunch of nimrods that just started writing and we haven't the foggiest idea of what we're doing. What is it that we have to provide the editor when we send our manuscripts over to you? Besides,
well,
a manuscript.
You know, the first thing that I ask someone is, you know, like, okay, how many words is your book? How many pages is your book? Do you have a synopsis? Send me the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can, you know, after going through all that, then I can give somebody a quote. But the editing process is, to me, it's just, really wonderful because I can find things that you have read your book 90 times and you still can't see that,
right.
You know, on page 14, you have called this character by a different name than when you started off,
mm-hmm.
or it's a different mm-hmm. spelling, or it's, you know, instead of a man, you've made it a woman or a dog or something. I mean, I have seen it all. But I do want to put in a plug for something else that I've written, and that's
Please.
Writer's Preparation Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a tiny little book, and it's also an online course at udemy.com. But basically, it helps someone who wants to write, doesn't know a thing about the process, and this little book and this course will make them understand how to even set up their files so they don't lose things. I mean, for years I worked with engineers that had all their files on their desktop, on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably they would end up working with the wrong file, the wrong version.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of writers end up doing that. It's like you've got to have some control and some organization. And so this little book will basically help anybody understand a lot of different processes.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad to hear you say that because I myself have learned over the years that I when I work, I make sure everything go on a thumb drive. And the mm-hmm. thumb drive, I save the work in progress always under the same name. So I don't have 12 different copies to choose from. It's always mm-hmm. the same one.
Yeah.
And that way, when you open it up with Word, it says, oh, hi there. Why don't we go back to where you ended yesterday? Okay, I can do that.
Right.
You know, thank God for Word. I don't know what I'd do without it. So.
Oh, I know. I love Word.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I work on a Mac after, you know, decades working on a PC. I switched over to a Mac about 5 years ago, and I will never go back to a PC.
Is that right?
One of the first things that I had to get was, you know, my office suite on this Mac.
Oh, office suite for Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love Word because it just, you know, it makes life easiest for
me. It really, truly does.
In the editing process, people just, they don't really keep track of what they're doing, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that, you know, when you're writing and you see a little red or green squiggly line under your word,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's something wrong with it,
right.
You know?
Right.
Stop and pay attention.
Right.
You know, it's either spelled wrong or you've got the wrong punctuation or something.
Yep.
You know?
Or they say, well, this is okay, but do you want to use this instead? Well,
yeah.
No.
Oh, I know.
What it says. Skip it once.
They're so crazy. Crazy suggestions.
Yeah, I know. They do have some crazy suggestions. But the spelling's usually right on. And I like it that you can add a word.
The problem is when you're writing with, you know, weird spellings and
right.
weird creatures and all these, you know, like space names and stuff like that, I always tell people, do not do a change all or accept all unless you are positive.
Right.
That is the correct spelling.
Well, it's like,
and I did that myself in Prophecy of Thal with the term Kujita. Remember those little Kujita people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kudaja. So I also tried it, Kujada. So I screwed myself up so badly one time that I had to go through and, you know, find both of those spellings and make a decision. You know, how is it going to be?
Hmm.
So that's a warning to anybody that's writing something with strange spellings. You know, just make sure you know what the hell you're doing.
Well, yeah. It's interesting. Just today I ran into – I'm in the process, Bobby, of – writing the Fifth Lancer book. I just started this week. And I've got them in New Orleans.
I can't wait.
Thank you. I've got them in New Orleans. And, of course, there's a lot of French influence. And I wanted to introduce – he was going into a restaurant. And I had the maitre d' address him. And the word Bader, I figured I'd just type it in like I thought it was spelled. It'll give me a couple of corrections. Doesn't come up.
No.
And it's like, dang.
That's because it's French.
I know. And so I ended up going to Google and typing in how to spell Bader D in French, you know. And it came up, and I popped it in. And I didn't like it, so I just made him the head waiter.
That's a Bugs Bunny move, man. Hey, I want to ask you.
That's interesting because that's really such a common word that you would almost think, even though it's French, that
exactly,
yeah,
you know, that word would know it.
I mean, Bob and I speak Italian, and I when I write Italian words occasionally, mm-hmm. Word tells me they're wrong,
right?
Yeah, well, no, you don't speak Italian words, so shut up. You know,
I think there's got to be a way. There's probably something in the system that'll let you fix that.
Oh yeah,
you know, but
well, if you add the word.
Yeah, that's
then it's
true.
Always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Don, I want to ask you, this show is called The Writer's Block, and we have had several different answers, and we're going to ask you that question. Have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, how did you get out of it?
You know, I'm asked that quite a bit, and I have to tell you, no, I don't have writer's block. I've never had writer's block. I have folders filled with little slips of paper with little ideas about all these different projects. I mean, I could write beyond the grave. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when I will walk away from the computer and I've got something churning in my head, but it's not writer's block. Is just basically trying to figure out, well, how am I going to get that down mm-hmm. on paper? How am I going to describe that? Mm-hmm. How am I going to work that through? And one thing that helps, don't laugh, is washing dishes in hot, sudsy water.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Something about that.
Okay. You know, whatever works.
And that came about because you don't have a dishwasher. Is that what you're telling us?
Oh, she's married to one.
No, I've got a dishwasher. I do have
His name's Bob.
I use, you know, quite a bit. But I'm one of those strange people that I don't put any wood in my dishwasher. I don't put my pans
mm-hmm.
or the pan lid.
Yeah.
And no plastic mm-hmm. whatsoever
yeah.
goes in my dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it says dishwasher pan, safe? I'm just funning with you now.
Do you think that part of that is just, in your case, it's that particular chore, but there's something about picking up and doing something routine that you don't really have to think about, that's on automatic pilot, so that your creative thought process is sort of free to go out there and be working on something while you're just focused on something, a routine kind of thing? I'm not a writer, so... But for me, things come to me in the shower.
Right.
You know, I don't know why, but in the shower is where I get my inspirations. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right.
And I think it's the routine.
It kind of loosens you up. It loosens you up takes you away from whatever is, you know, whatever you're trying to work through. And then I come back to the computer, sit down, and I'll start banging it out, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it
and you're fresh. Mm-hmm.
One last question that I have for you, and we're running out of time. You belong to an organization called Patreon. I don't know
Patreon,
if that's how can you kind of explain to our listeners what Patreon is and what it's about?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, in a sense, it's kind of like a GoFundMe or something. Basically, what I am trying to do is stay afloat, you know, and all these services cost money.
Yes, they do.
And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're mm-hmm. on a very tight budget and you have no way to, you know, come up with any more money, then you go out there and you ask for help. So with my Patreon account, that's what I'm asking for, is someone to help support my writing existence so I can keep writing and publishing my work. Right now I'm up to 4 books a year, and I'd like to increase that to, you know, 6 or 8 books a year, which I think I can do, but it costs a lot of money. So with Patreon, you know, you can support an artist or a writer or whoever and, you know, choose which level that you want to support them with, you know, $5 a month, $25 a month, $500 a month, you know, who knows. And I think it's a really wonderful way for artistic people to get backing from the community so they can, you know, provide more of their creativity. And God knows the world needs creativity.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I thought it was a great concept, and I wasn't familiar with it, but, you know, all the great artists and composers, you can go back in classical times and such, and they were all doing their work because of a patron.
Yes,
so often that was underwriting, you know, keeping them going. And I thought, wow, why didn't it ever occur to me that there'd be something like that out there?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I just updated my page today. So my profile is all updated, and, you know, I'm just hoping that people do, you know, reach out and help. Because it is daunting, you know. I mean, I've got all these things lined up, and it's like, well, how am I going to be able to afford to, you know, publish this?
Right.
Is the marketing
important is, you know, you've got to have a really great cover. You've got to make sure that your book is formatted perfectly. I've read so many books that most of them are just, they're formatted horribly. Some of them, they're not even indented. You know, everything just gloms together in a giant chunk. And,
Yeah, it takes care. And unfortunately, ma'am, we are out of time. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. And if you'd like to take just a minute and let everybody know where they can reach you and their email and website and all that neat stuff.
It's very simple. It's dawngreenfieldireland.com. And the email is dawn@dawngreenfieldireland.com.
Wow.
And if you need a book edited, just send me an email with all the information, and I'll give you a quote.
And Richard swears by you.
And I love Richard.
Oh, me too. I'm doing his, I'm his first guest on his new podcast Monday. Or his YouTube channel. I'm the first guest on his YouTube channel on Monday. Yeah, he's got starting a new
starting a new show.
It's going to be a YouTube channel. It's all video, and he called me today and wanted me to be his first guest. So I'm going to do that.
Cool.
All right. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a hoot having you.
It's been a pleasure.
Your mug is on the way.
Well, thank you guys. Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Jim and Bobby and Bill.
Poor Bob over here.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've been Bill since my name was Bob.
Yeah, there you go. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And have yourself a good, probably you're going to go to bed now. It's almost 11 o'clock. And, you know, keep listening and let us know what's going on with you. Would you please?
I sure will. And thanks again so much. I appreciate
our
it.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay, and that was Dawn Greenfield Ireland.
She called me Bill, and I didn't even call her Dave.
I know. That is such. You know, we have Bobby Jean. We have and Bob already knows this. Not next Tuesday, but a week from next Tuesday, we have a very special writer's block going to be airing live. It will be, then it will fold over to our regular writer's block page at LA Talk Radio. But we are going to be doing a live show with a very talented young woman. Her name is Samantha Brown. She is the editor and primary writer for Santa Susana High School, their online magazine. And I will send you the links, and you guys can take a look at it. It is absolutely stunning. She does a wonderful job, I have to tell you.
Great.
Yeah, and she'll be in studio with us on Tuesday night. So, Bobby Jean, if you'd like to join us, you're certainly more than welcome.
I'm amazed at some of
you.
And
Bob is
same
working.
Same time as normal?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Same time as normal?
Same time. Well, I don't know what's normal. Yeah, same time, 7 o'clock.
Well, yeah.
We all know. We know that person, Abby Normal. Yeah. That's 7 o'clock on the 22nd. We'll be interviewing Samantha Brown. And then, of course, her podcast will show up on our page. This is a very special Writer's Block show, and we did this just for her because Jerry and I were both totally impressed with her work.
It's amazing, some of the young talent that's
the
out
young
there.
Talent that is coming new, out right now is
a new wave
awesome.
Of just, you know, the technology and everything and just the different way of looking at
right.
things.
It's like, right. Just and we have next week, we have a gentleman that has been on our show before, and you know what? I wrote his name down. I left it with Bobby Jean's ad sitting on my computer.
See you there?
He's got a movie out right now. Actually, he's got a movie out. So we'll know him next week when he's on the show. He's going to be in studio, Bob, so.
That's always fun. The best thing.
Yeah. So anyway, this is another Thursday we have managed to shoot in the butt for, and Bob, thanks.
Howard Kaplan,
there you go.
If you give me enough time, I can find it.
Yeah, and he's on next week. And, of course, both of you, Bobby, you will be back in town, so you'll be available on Skype.
Yes, I will figure out what wasn't working tonight, yes.
Okay, then. And, Bob, of course, we'll see you in studio next week. And Howard Kaplan, and for myself, for Bob Brill, Bobby Jean Bell, the Writer's Block Show, we are out of here. Thank you.